Hallelujah. Are you really running to his love today? Is that what you really desire? Is that what we really want today, is to run to his love? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. I'm so grateful for God's move today. I feel his presence. Amen. I want you to pray for me that God will give me the words that he wants spoken today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This message that I have today is a call to repentance. John chapter 5 and verse 5. John chapter 5 and verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years he'd had this debilitating disease. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time. Let's say a long time. In that case, he saith unto him, and he's asking us today, wilt thou be made whole? Do you really want to be saved? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately, let's say immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jumping down to verse 14. And afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you've been made whole. You've been fixed. You've been healed. You've been delivered. But, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The title of my message is A Worse Thing. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you right now, Jesus, to speak to our hearts. Touch us, I pray. Let this word find good soil. Hallelujah. We thank you for moving in our worship. Let the anointing continue. We thank you for breaking yokes. Lord, we ask you, O God, to touch us, to heal us like that impotent man. Lord, deliver us right now, Jesus, immediately as these words go forth. Bring about a healing and a deliverance. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, receive it. Amen. You know, most times there's messages, especially ones that point out errors. We always think it's talking to the person behind us. It's not meant for me. But I want you to tell you, this message is meant for me, and it's meant for you. It's meant for all of us today. Because this man's situation is an example to us of how God came upon the scene. This man had been in this situation for nearly 40 years, 38 years with an impotence, with an illness, and nothing he did could seem to deliver him. Every time he went to touch the water, someone else beat him. Someone else got the blessing. Someone else got the miracle. Someone else got the deliverance. Someone else got the healing. But then Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up, and the Bible says he knew how long he had been waiting. Many of us had been in sin for many years, been in real situations where we could have lost our lives. And then Jesus showed up. Somebody spoke to us, invited us to a church. Somebody ministered to us. Somebody prayed for us. And then Jesus showed up. And we got delivered. We got healed. We got our situation changed. We got our direction turned about. We said we repented. We said we're going to serve you, Lord. We said we're going to choose you, Jesus. We asked for baptism. We asked for the pastor to baptize us. We said we wanted a different life. We said we were finished with that old mess. We said we wanted a new direction. Because we knew how long it had been we were in our previous condition. We knew where God had taken us from. We knew the things we used to do. We knew we didn't want to go back to that mess. Jesus looked at him when he was telling how long he'd been there, and he just said, "Rise up. You don't have to be in that situation. You can rise up out of it, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth is here today, and he can tell you, rise up. Get out of that situation. Take up your bed. Walk out of that mess. You don't have to stay in that situation." And it took no time. It said immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was a Sabbath day. See, it was illegal for him to be carrying around stuff on a Sabbath day. But you know, the master said, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." It may be that the doctor said, "Hey, it's not legal. You can't be whole. This is something we don't have a cure for. This is something that can't be fixed." But you have to tell him that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the maker of everything that is in creation. And if he says, "Rise up, take up your bed and get out of there," you better just obey him. This man had the right attitude, because where Jesus found him was in the temple. He did go to the temple. He must have been really happy after 38 years to get delivered of something that no one could fix, of watching everybody else get their blessing, of watching everybody else get delivered, of seeing people healed, and yet he stood there. He had no friends, no one to help him. But then Jesus walked on the scene. I'm telling you, it may be that you're in situations where no one else can help you, where a friend can't help you, your parents can't help you, brother or sister can't help, but Jesus can walk on your scene. He knows how long you've been in that situation, and he wants to deliver you. He didn't even really answer the man's question. He just said, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And there was no delay. Immediately, the man was made whole. I'm telling you, you don't have to wait for Jesus to make your heart whole today. If you have a made up mind, if you're determined to have Jesus come into your life, if you're willing right now to have him say, "Rise up, get out of that mess, repent, change your life, have a made up heart, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, who is Jesus Christ." And this man got up and he took his bed. And I'm sure there were people saying, "You can't be doing that. It's impossible. You shouldn't be walking on the Sabbath day." And he went to the right place. In verse 14, we find Jesus came and found him in the temple. But Jesus went to all this trouble because there must have been a backstory to this man's situation. Because Jesus doesn't always speak to people about their past. But there must have been a backstory to how he got into this situation. Because here's what Jesus said to him: "Behold, thou art made whole, but sin no more." Now, when Jesus tells you sin no more, you know what that tells me? It's possible to sin no more. He is not going to tell us something that we cannot do with his help. It's true, we cannot do this with our own self. It's true, I have not the power to control all of my desires and lusts. But when Jesus shows up on the scene and says, "Sin no more," he has given us through the Holy Spirit the ability to walk in newness of life, to be led by the Spirit. Jesus made this comment to him: "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing." See, Jesus gave this man a warning. There may have been a reason why he ended up the way he ended up for 38 years. Sometimes things happen when it's nothing to do with us. There are babies that are born crippled. There are babies that are born deformed. They had no reason. There was nothing they did. But a lot of stuff that happens to us, there's no one else to blame but me, I, and myself. Don't go looking at your parents. Don't go looking at the schooling. Look in the mirror and decide it was my choice. I made this mess. I created this situation. A lot of us, when we're in trouble, when we're in a spot, we want to blame other people. It's the church. They didn't love me enough. That's not going to wash it on Judgment Day. I'm telling you. Jesus is going to say, who were you looking at? Because I loved you all the time. I never left you or forsook you. You were looking at somebody else's love. They're undependable. They may leave you or forsake you, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus went up to this man and told him something, and I'm sure he understood what Jesus was talking about. Behold, you've been made clean. You've been baptized. You've been washed. Your sins have been remitted. Don't go running in the mud again. Don't go jumping out into the mud. Don't go rolling around in the muck. Some of us, when God cleans us up, it doesn't take very long before we're back rolling around in the mud. Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing. Did you know that there are worse things? God is a loving God, but he's also a God of judgment and a God of justice. When people break natural laws, disaster happens. If you go putting your fingers in the electric socket, you know what's going to happen? The law of electricity is going to bite you. You'll be lucky if you just get burnt. But when we break spiritual laws, we don't realize that a worse thing can happen. God wants to heal you. God wants to deliver you. God has cleaned us up. Let's not go back into that mess, that disaster, that muck, that mire. Because he warned this man, you were 38 years in this condition. You were 38 years wanting someone to come and help you. And I came and I gave you the word, rise up, get out of the mess. If you look on that wall next door, you'll see, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 people that we have baptized. Where are they today? They have gone back to sitting by the pool. Why? Because they've gone back to the muck. Jesus told this man, and he's telling us today, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Yes, God is a God of love. But he's also a God of laws. He's a God of justice. He's a God that has set this world in order. And when we break his laws, then there are consequences. There are things that will come upon us. And he warned this man, you've been 38 years in this mess. You would think he would be so grateful to stay away. And yet there's some of us that as soon as God delivers us, it don't take 2 weeks. Don't take a month. We're back in the same mess. We're back. People have lost their fear of judgment. Because God's mercy and grace is all that's preached, people think that's all God is. But he's also a God of judgment. In Genesis chapter 5, the Bible says that it repented God that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him to his heart. Oh boy, when you start making God sad, you're in a bad place. When you make God be grieved over you, you're in a sad and dangerous place. I'm trying to warn us today that God has said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon us. You know, people who smoke for many years, when they go to the doctor and they find out they have lung cancer, they should not be surprised. If you do certain drugs, you should not be surprised if it blows your brain. Because there are worse things. Yes, there are people who are born and it wasn't anything they did. And God will have mercy and grace. But when we deliberately keep going back and doing the same thing over and over, even after God has delivered us, you're testing God's grace. And the Bible says that we're not to do that. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that Israel tested God. No matter how much he did for them, they kept on messing up and rebelling against him. 10 times he did some of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. Finally, parting the Red Sea. Imagine a sea parting behind you and them going over on dry land. And as soon as they got across, they started to complain and murmur and curse God. You brought us out here to die. You brought us out here to die. What did God do? He started to make water come out of a rock. And for 2 years, they could have taken a journey of 4 days and they came to the promised land. And then they doubted God again. They said, oh, we can't do it. We can't make it. It's better we went back to Egypt. I wonder if that man had a choice, he would have thought, you know, it's better I go back sitting at that pool for someone to put me in. But yet that's what we do all the time. No matter what God does for us, we're ready to go back into Egypt. Finally, God got so mad with them, he said, listen, none of you are going to enter into my rest. You're going to wander around in this desert for the next 40 years and you're going to die in this desert. What a sad ending for people who had been delivered, for people who had seen some of the greatest miracles, who had seen food fall from the sky, who had seen birds fall on their ground, so all they had to do was pick them up, where who they had seen bread form on the ground, who their clothes had never rotted out. And yet they lacked faith, yet they rebelled. And so you know what? A worse thing came upon them. See, God is speaking to us today that he's coming back. And he's coming back for a church, the Bible says, without spot or wrinkle. You know what that means? The Bible says that we need to get busy. We need to make sure that our garment is clean. I can't have all kinds of stuff on me and expect that I'm going to stay in the wedding feast. Because in the parable, the king said, friend, how did you get in here? How did you get in here? Because the garment has been provided. Healing and deliverance has been provided. Forgiveness has been provided. You have no excuse. Jesus is speaking to us. He said, behold, you've been made whole. You've been baptized. You may even have been filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not going to make you choose to love me. The Holy Spirit is only there if you want to listen. But if you refuse to listen, then a worse thing is going to come upon you. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I should have died several times. I've told you about how God delivered me several times when it looked like death was a sure thing. I think one of the last times I was coming down 94 and there was water on the road and I didn't realize it and I hit the water and the car just started to fishtail back and forth, and I was doing way over 50 miles an hour, and finally it just slammed into the wall. And that wasn't the worst, because I was sure there were some semis right behind me. Somehow God was merciful, delivered me. You know what? I want to make sure that a worse thing does not come upon me. I was taken to church from I was 3 years old. I've been in this thing my whole life. What a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to miss out on God's second coming. Most of you have gone to church your whole life. God has delivered you, saved you, done miracles for you, blessed you, healed you. And what are you doing today? Jesus took the time to go find this man, to give him a warning. You've been made whole. I did something which no one else could do for you. I healed you. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Now I know this is not a lot of shouting, but it's the truth anyway. It's the truth anyway. I'm speaking to myself. I want to make sure that my garment is spotless. If I have done something, I want to make sure that I don't leave this building today with an unrepentant heart. See, God has called us to walk worthy of the calling. If you're going to be a king and a queen, you got to act like one. If you're going to be a priest and a king, you got to start acting like one. Queen of England can't do certain things. She has to walk like everybody's watching her all the time. But how do we walk? In Colossians 1:10, it says that he might walk worthily, worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. God has called us to have a different kind of walk. We can't walk like the world. We can't be like the world. We need to be pleasing in his sight. We need to be doing what pleases him, to giving everything he has given me back to him. Because he could take it. It's his. Amen. Everything I have don't belong to me. Even the very breath belongs to him. There's four things in this scripture that talks about walking worthy. The first one is bearing fruit. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. Can Jesus walk up to you and get some fruit? Or are we like the fig tree when he looked, there was nothing there. Nothing there. And he looked at it and he cursed it. He said, from henceforth, no man. Some of us, we're right on that edge where God is looking for the fruit and he can't find it. It's just his mercy. He hasn't opened his mouth yet and said, I'm done with you. Bearing fruit. The next thing it says in this verse is growing in the knowledge of God. Some of us couldn't tell someone how to be saved if it cost our life. Yet we've been coming to church for years. Where is the fruit? Where is the growing in the knowledge of God? Number three, being strengthened. See, when God sees your mind and sees your attitude, he's going to strengthen you. He's going to take you by the hand and pull you through, despite what the devil is doing. The last thing about walking where it says giving thanks. Giving thanks. A lot of us just give complaints. Man, pastor didn't call me. Pastor didn't shake my hand. Pastor does this for those other people. He has favorites. Let me tell you something. God has favorites. Those that please him and do his will, they're his favorites. But a lot of us, we want God's blessing, but we don't obey what he has commanded us. I'm talking about a worse thing. There are worse things. The ultimate worst thing is death. God could take our breath just like that. So far as pastor, I've only had to do about two or three funerals, but they have not been happy things. The first one was, of course, that young man that I baptized. And on that day, I remember we had a community service. It was outdoor in the park, and Malcolm was there, and this young man was there, and they all went down and were prayed for. But he's not here today. His life is gone. Because there are worse things. I'm here today as pastor to warn us. We need to take our salvation seriously. That he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You see, because God is so merciful, because he doesn't bring judgment right away, people think they're getting away with stuff. Think it's okay. Nothing's happened. I'm all right. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3. But there are unpardonable sins. You can push God so far that you have pushed him where he says, okay, you made your choice. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3, the writer says, and this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That's a worse thing. When God has delivered you, when God has blessed you, when God has healed you, when God has given you so much, and you would crucify him again. The Bible says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. No more sacrifice for sin. I'm reminded of Saul and his arrogant attitude to God and to the prophet. Hey, I'm the king. You anointed me king. Yes, God had blessed him. God had chosen him. God had given him everything that he wanted. And yet, because of his arrogance and his heart, he rejected God. Took it upon himself to be the priest and the king. Sometimes we take it upon ourselves to try and do something God didn't tell us to do. And God said to Samuel, I have rejected him. I'm finished with him. You know, when God is finished with you, that's it. There's no Supreme Court above God. There's a worse thing. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Today God is calling us and saying, listen, while it is yet day, while it's yet light, while my mercy is still extended, while I'm still giving you a warning, it's time for you to sin no more. Because he told that man, lest the worst thing come upon you. We don't know exactly what his disease was, except he couldn't walk, which is pretty bad. He was lame, and he'd been that way for 38 years. But the implication was he wasn't born that way. Something happened in his life that ended him up with this disease. And what Jesus is saying, listen, yeah, I healed you. You're a whole now, but be careful. I'm warning you. Don't go back to whatever it was you were doing, because you'll end up back the same way. In fact, you will be worse. In fact, Jesus talked about this man who had one demon, and he got it cleansed. His house was nice and clean. But he didn't have his house filled with something else, the Holy Spirit. So you know what happened? That demon went and got seven more. So his end was worse than his beginning. That's what happens when we reject God after so much calling from the Holy Spirit. Once God has called us and called us and called us, and we just keep rejecting and keep rejecting. Finally, God says, okay, you made your choice. You don't want me. Okay, I'll leave you up to whoever. And Satan says, let me at him. Let me at him. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. I'm telling you, we need to get a Nineveh spirit in here. When Jonah warned them, the Bible said, from the king to the animals fasted and bowed and cried out to God. And God had mercy on some people that didn't deserve mercy. But God is a gracious and merciful God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 2:19, and I'm not going to keep you too long. 2 Peter 2:19. You see, Peter was speaking to the church and he was saying, yes, God delivered you out of all kinds of stuff. But there's people out there trying to get you back into your mess. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled back in the mess and overcome. Here it is again. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's what God is saying to us today. I'm coming back. And I'm only coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. You Laodicean church, listen, you think you are rich and you're doing okay because you come to church, because you raise your hand, but I really know the truth. Behold, you are naked and lukewarm, and I'm getting ready to spew you out of my mouth. And the worst, the end is going to be worse than the beginning. I've seen what God does to some people when they reject him. And it's sad. It's sad. Jesus, when he started his ministry, he went back to his hometown of Capernaum, and they handed him the scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he started to read from the 61st verse, chapter. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings." Right? Recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bound. And the acceptable day of the Lord. And he stopped. He stopped in mid-sentence. Because if you read the next part, the day of vengeance of our God. Right now is the acceptable time of the Lord. But there's coming the day of vengeance of our God. Because Jesus has been appointed to be the judge. When he arose, he said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." And that means when he comes back this time, he's not coming to deal with sin. He's coming back to be a judge. Peter said, "Listen, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it is better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered on." Do you hear what he's saying? It's better you didn't know about this than you could plead before God, "I didn't even know, God. I didn't even know you loved me. I didn't know there was a word, a Holy Spirit, a church." It's better you didn't even know this, because the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." Jesus said to the soldiers who were crucifying him, he prayed for them, "Father, forgive them." Why? They don't know what they're doing. But I doubt there's one of you in here today can say you don't know what you're doing. I doubt there's too many of you in here, except some babies, who can say, "I don't know what I'm doing." But a lot of us are picking up some nails and some hammers and are getting ready to put some nails into Jesus again. Now, those are hard words, but this is what I'm feeling in my spirit. And as pastor, this is what I'm telling you. The end is going to be worse than the beginning. It's time for us to get saved, people. It's time for us to quit fooling people. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them." And he goes on to quote a proverb, "But it is happened unto them according of the true proverb that the dog is turned to his own vomit again." See, when God had pulled you out of mess, don't go back into it. Don't go back into it. Don't go back into it. If you could stand with me, I'm going to leave you with this word. Before God gives judgment, you know what he always does? He gives a warning. I put a few months ago a meme on Facebook, and it said, "If you were looking for a sign, this is it." And that's what the sign said. If you were looking for a warning, this is it. You have been warned. Because Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And he's not coming back for some mishmash mess. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And when I stand before him, I want to have a clear conscience. God, I told them, I warned them, I did everything I could. I refuse to be responsible for people who will not obey the King of Kings. Not me, but his word. I'm saying it plain as I can. The end will be worse than the beginning. But while we still have time today, we can repent. We can come before God and say, "Lord, have mercy upon me." He knows our flesh. He knows we're weak. But what he's looking for is humility. The proud he seeth afar off. In fact, it's one of the seven abominations. A stiff-necked heart. People who will not repent, who will not bring to God a contrite heart. That's what he's looking for. But if we remain ready to nail him, he'll say, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity. I know you not." He wants us to change. Genuine repentance, not tears. Tears is not repentance. Change is repentance. Change is repentance. A lot of people can cry tears, but yet their heart is still miles away from God. God wants us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I receive that word. What God is looking for is a humble and a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He is always willing to forgive. But you know what happens when you keep rejecting God? Eventually that heart becomes scarred, becomes hardened. And that is when it's dangerous. But as long as we are able to feel God's pull, to feel the Spirit softening our will, God is asking us today to repent, to seek His face, lest a worse thing come upon us. I don't want to preach any more funerals. I don't want to preach any more funerals. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. When I stand before my Maker, I want to be able to say, Lord, search me. And try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. I want to be able to stand with a clear conscience and say, Lord, I was like that. But through your mercy and your grace, you have pulled me out of the miry clay. And you have set my feet upon a rock. We're closing this service. The altars are open. And I'm just preaching from my heart to let you know what God says. Repent, unless a worse thing come upon thee. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you right now, Jesus. Lord, that you look down in mercy upon our church. Upon us, Lord, that we come before you, Lord God, with a heart that is broken and contrite. Lord, that we seek your face. Lord God, that you will forgive us, Lord Jesus, of our many, many faults and failures, Lord God. Oh God, we humble ourselves before your throne right now, Jesus. Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, Lord God, that I will give it to you, Lord, I will change, that I will turn around, that I will seek your face. That I will truly repent, Lord God, that you can use me, Lord God. Hallelujah, that your anointing will not be taken away, Lord Jesus. I bow down before you today, Lord God, and I seek your face. I seek your face. Lord, for this church, oh God, Lord, we come before you. Lord, you know our hearts, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord God, instead of a curse, that there be blessing. Lord, instead of arrogance and pride, that there be humility. Lord, that we will cry aloud before your throne right now, that you are willing to accept our repentance, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We cry right now, church, if you could pray, if you would lift up your voice, if you would call out to your Maker, if you would bow before the King of Kings and to seek his face. Hallelujah, if you will open your mouth. The Bible said that repentance is by confession. You don't have to confess to me, but you certainly do have to confess to him. The Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah, and we're going to have to speak then if we don't speak now. Hallelujah, if we don't open our mouth now to the King of Kings and cry aloud and ask God for his grace and his covering spirit. Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah. I want to do it now so that when I see him next, I can be worshipful, I can be joyful. I will not be fearful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, if you will just pray.
Hallelujah. That's what we need to do today, is to run after him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could all stand with me. Bible says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, but it's a wonderful thing to fall into the hands of a graceful and merciful God. We're going to close this service, but I hope you meditate upon these words. The Bible says, let everyone examine their own self, whether they stand or fall. Salvation is a personal thing. My Father can't save me. The Bible says every man must work out their own salvation. God is going to judge you for you, not for me. And today, this is the message. Father, we just thank you for being at Rehoboth today, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, for loving us, because you said you chasten everyone that you love. Lord, we ask you right now to let this message, this word, minister to us. Oh God, that we will walk worthy of our calling. Lord, that we will be more than just walking, but Lord, be ministers of your gospel. We thank you today for your mercy and your grace and for your forgiveness, Lord God. We thank you today for healing and deliverance. We thank you for blessing in our lives. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Everyone say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give God a praise offering.